Amen. Nice to hear you, Brother Dan, David.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you. I'm glad that you were able to like Dan. Yes.
A little bit proud of I found the ID number. So.
Yes. Amen. Yes. But again, thank you again for making this opportunity. You know that we had heard your message last. I believe it was last month or a month more than a month ago, but. Thank you again for
You're welcome.
Amen.
Now I'm going to try to show a few slides. I don't know if I can do that because I don't know. If, let me see. I got to see if I can do it. Share screen, but I don't know. I got to go see if I can get the computer. Do I do it? Do I have to open the computer before? There it is, right there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Then I can. Okay, and show from the beginning. Okay, is that okay? Knowing the heart of God, I just want to be sure I had it there. Can you see it? Is it okay?
We just see what do you call it now, all your messages, Pastor. I mean, we don't see it.
Do you see knowing the heart of God?
Yeah, we see that.
Okay, do you see me on the side, myself?
Yeah.
The picture of myself?
Yes. Okay.
But that's the. I'm going to be showing a few slides along with the sermon. Okay.
Right.
Now,
there's no image.
Double click on it.
I had to click on where. You are sharing. You are screen sharing. It says there.
On the file, right?
Well, on the computer. I have, mine is there, but let me go down and drive this, say share again.
No.
Is that showing?
It's double showing click. Your files.
What do I have to do?
Put your cursor
in the file.
But,
double click on the file.
Heart
of God.
So I start again. Let me see. Share screen. Should I go to share screen again, right? Now, here's the PowerPoint right there. And here's the knowing God. Do you see it? We can't see it.
No, it's the PowerPoint, or it's the files again.
The PowerPoint file needs to be open before you share your screen. So you have to open the PowerPoint and then share the images.
I have to open that first, then share the screen. So do I have to leave this and go back to my screen first?
You just stop sharing and then open up your PowerPoint.
Well, stop sharing.
And then share again.
Okay, yeah. Stop sharing.
It should work that way.
Now go share screen. No. Share screen. Now go to my PowerPoint. It's right here. Is that it? Can you see it?
Yes.
You see it now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now you see knowing the heart of God?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you have it.
Blessings.
It's okay?
Yes.
Is it working? Let's see. Let's see.
Here.
Huh. Let me see. Now I cannot move. Oh, there it is. You see that?
Yes.
Is he moving?
Yes.
Okay.
Your bottom left corner, there should be arrows going forward and backwards. You just kind of hover over the bottom left part of the screen on the very bottom. You should see the arrows that will let you move the slides forward.
However you're doing it works too. We can see the changes.
The way I'm doing is okay like this?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. You can see it.
Okay, then we'll go forward that way. Okay, thanks again. Thank God for it and your invitation. I can be here with you. It's a blessing every time I do this. Of course, first of all, I would like to, we're going right into the sermon because of this time of not only the COVID-19, but also fires that are taking place in different places. My daughter and son-in-law and the family had to leave PUC to go someplace else. because the fire is getting close to PUC. So we continue to pray for them. Let's pray for all the families who are affected with these fires, and also those who are affected by the COVID-19 and financially, spiritually, and health-wise. Continue to pray. Remember one promise. Jesus said to his church, to his disciples, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So, brothers and sisters, we have that promise that Jesus is with us no matter what the circumstances around us. If Jesus is with us, who can be against us?
Amen.
So that's the promise for us today. And let us tell others about it too. Pray for each other as we are doing it now. And I understand Pastor Mendoza told me also that in a few weeks you'll be having evangelistic meetings virtually. Is that correct?
Yes.
In a few weeks. So I said, well, I'll have a sermon that will also integrate that important endeavor you guys will be doing, the church will be doing in San Jose. The Lord bless you in that. So that's the reason I chose this topic, knowing the heart of God of chapter 15, like the little that story of the children's about parables about the prodigal son and all that. Well, we're going to get into that too. And Jesus used parable stories so we can understand more profoundly the spiritual things, even to know the heart of God. That's what we're doing this morning. In Luke 15, you know the stories, and I'll just repeat some of them. It says there that we have the story of the shepherd and the three four things that we have to look at, three parts. The shepherd and the lost, the woman and the lost coin, and we have also the rejoicing. Isn't that beautiful? And then, of course, I'm going to add the application of these stories to our lives, to your church, to each one of us too. But there's those three, four things we need to be looking this morning. Four parts: the lost, the seeker, the thing was found, rejoicing, and of course the application of a sermon to each one of our lives. So this is knowing God's heart. Isn't that beautiful to know God's heart? This we'll learn about this morning. Now, as I have read the Bible, Spirit of the Prophets, I came to this conclusion. Whatever concept I have or you have, my concept of God determines what? My manner of living, my level of contentment in life, my relationship with God, and my relationship with my fellow beings. So why it is so important to have a correct concept of God? The concept of God determines all these things. So for such reason, I emphasize that even in this sermon also. So let's go to the concept. Well, let's read verse 1 of Luke. You have your Bibles open to Luke 15. I'm going to have to move mine to Luke 15. I don't have it open yet. Luke chapter 15. And we'll do as much as we can of the reading of that chapter. Luke 15 starts saying, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes criticized or murmured, complained, saying, this man, speaking about Jesus, receives sinners and eats with them. Were they happy that Jesus was meeting with sinners and eating with them? No way. They were criticizing him. Do you know why? Again, because they had a wrong concept of God. Look what they taught and what they believed. The Pharisees and the scribes, they taught and lived and believed these things, that God doesn't love sinners. No way. Not an unclean person. God only loves those who obey him. That's why they wanted to be so obedient, because they wanted to gain God's love and God's favor. And there is no joy in heaven for a sinner, or there is joy in heaven when a sinner is destroyed. That's what they thought. Jesus doesn't love sinners. And this other, only when a person repents will God receive him. That's what they taught. In other words, what they're saying, they're putting a condition there. Before you come to God, you have to repent first. But that's not the way it works. You have to come to God first. Then the Holy Spirit will give you repentance. It's a gift of God. Then we repent. But we don't repent. In other words, we don't say to people, well, change your life. Be better. then come to God. No, no, no. That's what they were saying. You repent first, you change your life, then you come to God. He's going to receive you. That's not the way the Bible says. God's concept, our concept of God is that if we come to him like we are, filthy sinners with all our baggage, we come to him because we know he loves us and he values us, then repentance comes to our hearts, and then we are changed to what he wants us to be. Isn't that beautiful? That's the difference between the concept that the Pharisees and scribes has and what the Bible teaches. Let's see the other. The first parable. Let's read that. Luke, can you see it there? Luke 15, 4 to 7?
Yes, Pastor. Yes.
Okay. Luke 15, 4 to 7. Let's read it. Let me see, I lost it here. Well, let's read verse 3 first. So he told them this parable. How many parables?
Them. One. Four.
He told them this parable. It's interesting. Is the word parable in plural or in singular? In the Bible, the word parable is in singular. It doesn't say, and God and Jesus told them these parables, as we say, the parable of the shepherd, the parable of the woman, and the parable of the prodigal son or the father. It doesn't say that. He told them this parable, only one parable. So as I have read more and more of this parable, it is only one parable, but it has three parts or three phases. It's beautiful. One is connected to the other and to the other. If we only read one part, you don't get the whole story. You read one or two, you don't hit the whole story. Maybe I'll leave you a homework. Read this parable over and over again and try to understand why Jesus said that this was only one parable, not three, but one. And what is he trying to tell us about that? Today we'll see a little bit about it, but it's not all. And if you see more about it, please text Brother David and he can tell me and text it to me too, what you're saying, what you have found, why Jesus says this is one parable, not three, and how they're connected one with the other. Let us see then the first part of the parable. A man, what man of you have 100 sheep, loses one of them? Does not he leave the 99 in the wilderness and goes after that one that was lost? And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulder. And what happens? He rejoices. And when he has come home, he calls even the other neighbors, his friends, saying, come here, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. He's telling the Pharisees and the scribes and us too, look, Jesus is saying, my Father is the seeker. I am the seeker. The shepherd is the seeker. First of all, who initiates the looking for, the seeking? It is not the sheep. It is not people who are lost. It is God. Remember Adam and Eve, he says? You know the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, did God just leave them alone and, well, you come back when you want? No. God came to the garden to seek Adam and Eve. He's the first missionary in the whole universe. He came to seek Adam and Eve, the sheep that were lost. Jesus is telling the scribes and the Pharisees, a sheep goes out, the shepherd goes to look for the sheep. That represents God. That represents me. And what happens when we find them? We rejoice. You're not happy. He tells the scribes and the Pharisees, we rejoice when the sinner comes to God. You don't rejoice. But I tell you, verse 7, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven. There's joy with God, joy in heaven, when one sinner repents and comes to God. It's beautiful. Well, he's trying to let him know. I remember when I was a teenager, I accepted Jesus as a teenager. I was out in the field, and I felt God tugging my heart. And I went, and my dad told me to go home. When I went home, I knelt before I got to the car, before I got to the car to drive home. I prayed to God and I said, Lord, here I am. I don't know what's happened to me, but I gave myself to you completely. So I gave myself to Jesus as a teenager and I went home. When I got home, I told my mother, my elder sister, I gave my heart to Jesus. You know what they did? They prayed and they were rejoicing. When somebody comes to God, we rejoice, don't we? But the scribes and Pharisees, because they had the wrong concept of God, they weren't rejoicing. The second part of the parable is in verse 8 to 10. Let us read that, verse 8 to 10. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweeps the house and seeks diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together again, friends, neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost. Again, this woman lost the coin. Why a coin? You know why Jesus used this part of the parable to say it's a coin? Because a coin was valuable to this woman. Why? Well, some scholars say that coin represented a something she received, this woman received as a dowry when she was married. And maybe she was saving this coin, 10 coins, she lost one for her daughter when she got married. And they would keep it on going from family to family. So it was very important for her. It had value because the coin has something on it. What does it have? It has an image. That image gives the coin the value. So Jesus is telling the scribes and the Pharisees and to us too, the people that we are looking at, the sinners and publicans that you despise, they're valuable because they have the image of God. Although the image is almost obliterated, it's very blurry, but yet they were made in the image of God, just like God made Adam and Eve, has made you too. So that's the reason Jesus was going to them, because they had the image of God. It was blurry, but God wanted to restore the image of God in the sinners and the publicans, because they despised them, because the publicans were traitors. They were the ones who gathered the taxes for the Roman Empire, so that they didn't like them. They were traitors. Well, they may be Jews, of course, and the sinners were the Gentiles and others that were really unclean, they would tell them, so they would get away from them. But they said, no, I don't, because they're my sheep, they're lost, and they have value as an image of a coin has value. So he goes on to say these things. So I'll tell you, brothers and sisters in the San Jose English Church, that you may find people like the lost sheep. They don't know how to come home. You know them maybe for years and they haven't accepted Jesus yet. Well, why don't you call them, talk to them now and prepare the hearts so they can join you in the evangelistic meetings through Zoom or wherever you're going to do it. And also you may find people who are lost like the coin, but they have the image yet there. And if you talk to them and say, you're very important, you have value before God, they may listen and they may come to the meetings through Zoom or however you're going to do it. So this part of the lost coin is something very important I want to stress. It says here that she did two things. She did two things. What did she do? The Bible says that she, can we read it again? She lit a lamp. Let me see. She lit a lamp. And she also swept. So let's go first. She lit a lamp. Now, where was this coin lost? At the home, at the house. Could it be that there's father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, or other relatives who are lost in the house, in our home? There could be. They don't know Jesus. They need to know about Jesus. But for them to have an opportunity to know Jesus, we who believe in him, we must have the light burning in our hearts. What is the light? What does the lamp represent? You know that. Psalm says that the word of God is like a lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. So we must be imbued with God's word. It's powerful. God's word is powerful. Paul says that it's like a two-edged sword, this life and active. It will penetrate our lives. It will seek us. It will tell us what's wrong and tell us what we can do to make things right. Come to Jesus. He discerns our thoughts and intentions even. So the light will illuminate our life and we can be God's light in this world, in the house. Have you been a light in your house? Does your son or daughter see you and sees Christ in you? They believe? Or there are obstacles. Are there obstacles in your life that perhaps, you know, says, I know I don't want to go because look, my brother, he was baptized and look how he lives. He doesn't live like a Christian. Or look at my father. He look what he does, what he says. He always gets angry and he's a church member. So that's obstacles in our lives. That's why we must do something. We must sweep. Sweep any obstacle that's in your life that the Holy Spirit teaches you. He may be talking to you now. Sister, brother, says the Holy Spirit, my son, my daughter. These things are in your life. There are obstacles for others in your family to come to know Jesus. Let me sweep it away. Then God will do it if you only are willing for him to sweep any garbage, any trash that's in our lives. God makes us clean if we let the Holy Spirit clean it. But we have to be willing. Then our home, in our home, we may then see our daughter, our father, our mother, our sister, our daughter come to Jesus because they see Jesus in us. May the Holy Spirit help us in that area too. And we can tell them they're not yet believers in Jesus. They're not walking with Jesus. Son, would you like to be with me as we join these meetings? They're coming to start real soon in a few weeks. Pray with them. Love them. May they join us too so they can come to know Jesus also. I remember a story that I heard from someone that I knew very well years back. He told me when I was a young boy, I was home with my father and mother. It was in those states that are very cold and winter gets cold. It was getting almost time for winter. So the air was cold and the ground was cold. And we were sitting around in our living room around a stove. And my mother was cooking in the kitchen. And I was busy doing other things. My father was sitting on the other side there in the living room. And then suddenly my father came over and he struck my head. And he says, hey, son, he says, Ray, haven't you hurt your head? You must go get the water. Your mother needs water and get those pails and get water. He knocked him down with his fist. And he got up and got the buckets and went to get the water, which was about a block away. There was a little mountain there, and he went to the pump and got some water. But when he was walking over with his two pails in his hands to get water, he was thinking, "Man, what a God! What is Dad doing? Why does he hit me that way? He's mean, and I'm small yet. I'm a teenager, but when I get big." So, see, Satan was putting things in his mind. Dad is not going to do those things to me, thinking those things. And he was really getting angry against his father. But after we got his water, he was coming back home with two pails of water, full of pail in each arm, in each hand. He sees his father coming to meet him. I was, oh my, that was the last thing I wanted to see, his father. But he saw him coming, and he slowed down. Ray did, with the pails of water. But his father came closer and he says, Ray, did you hear your mother call for do you bring him water? And he shaked his head, no. And his father came over and he hugged him and says, I'm sorry what I did. I thought you had heard her to bring water. You just didn't want to do it. You was being rebellious. And I'm sorry for what I did. And they hugged each other. They cried with each other. Their hearts were reconciled with one another. You know what that young man said to us when he's telling this story? That day when my father hugged me and said he was sorry for what he did, I felt that all those, when I was coming, I was very revengeful. I was hating my father. All those things just fell away. It was like I had a new life. And what he said, you know what happened? He made me that day to look my father different and to love him. And that's the reason he says, I chose to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. So he was a pastor then when he told us this story. That act of his father changed his life. So I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if there's been, you know, things in your home that are bad and and your relative don't want to follow Jesus, maybe there's something we're doing wrong that they don't like, they don't see Jesus. Let's ask forgiveness. Let's make things right. May they come to see Jesus and invite them to the meetings. What do you say? Let's do that. God loves each one of us. If you will do so. I appreciate that if you will do so. And you will have great, you know, fruits from the meetings as you do that. Now let's go. This is very important. Well, everything's important, but let's go now to the other part. Luke 15:11-24. Luke 15:11-24. It says there was a man who had two sons or a father. And the younger man, we know the story of a younger man who became the prodigal son. He says, give us the inheritance. And he divided the inheritance between, he has two sons. He gave them to both of them. Not many days later, the younger man went away to far country, squandered all his money, loose living, and he spent everything away. And he had the hunger came to that country. He was so hungry that he went to look for a place to give him work and give him food. And he said that he went and joined himself to one of the citizens to find some food and some work. And he said, well, I have some herd of swine. If you want, you can do that work. Verse 15 says that. And he went and did that. When he was there, he would see the swine or the pigs eat. And he wanted to eat what they were eating, but they were not even given that to eat. Then he thought to himself, what am I doing here? My father has food, has servants and everything up there. I remember when I was there, he had everything. Why am I here? Hunger and in need of so many things. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he arose and went over there. And his father saw him at a distance. He went and the father just came running and hugged him, embraced him. The Greek says he continued hugging him and hugging him more and more. He was filthy. He was stinky. But yet the father didn't see that as an obstacle. He loved him. But then listen to what he says here. What happened when the son was going to confess his sin? That speech he had made, he had memorized. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But then the father interrupts, says, servants, bring the robe and put the best robe on him. Put a ring on him. Put shoes on him. It was to be his son again. And let's bring the fat calf. Let's kill it. Let's eat together and be merry. Because my son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He is found. Let's make a party. That's what the Bible is saying. Now I ask you. When the father heard his son saying that he was sorry, the father had already accepted him, but he did not let him say the last thing. What was the last part that he did not let him do? You see there what it says, the father, what happened? He didn't say the last thing. He did not permit him to say, make me as one of your servants, because Jesus doesn't want us to be servants. The father didn't want him to be servant. He wanted to be his son. He reinstated him as a full son with all privileges in that home. That's what God does when we come to him. So I asked myself, isn't that beautiful the way God is? See, the Pharisees and scribes, if somebody was going to come to God, they said, well, let's give him probation time, the sinners, see if they're going to be okay. No, God receives them plainly, fully as God would do to any daughter or son that comes to him. So let's see something very important in this topic that we're listening right now. Verse, he says here, Father, I don't want to be. The father says, I don't want you to be to his son a hired servant. And Jesus told his disciples the same thing. I know in verse John 15:15, he says, no longer do I call you servants. The servants don't know what their master is doing, but I have called you my friends, Jesus says. For I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you, I'm doing my Father's will, seeking the lost. So the Pharisees and the scribes are not seeking the lost, but my Father is. So that's why Jesus told his disciples, I don't want you, I don't want to call you higher servants. I want you to call you my friends, because you must know what I am doing. You must know who I am. When we know Jesus, then he calls us sons and daughters, not servants. Because a servant is like the following, verse 25 to 32. The elder son was in the field. He must have been working hard. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants, "What's all this happening?" He said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed a fatted calf because he received him safe and sound, but he was angry." What was the attitude of the eldest son? He was angry. Why was he angry? Because he had not waited for his brother to come back. He didn't want his brother to come back. So really, he's telling the scribes and the Pharisees, do you really want the sinners and publicans to come back to God? It seemed like you don't. He was speaking, this elder son is speaking, representing precisely the publicans and the Pharisees. You really don't want the sinners to come back to God. But it says here, I continue to read. Let me see verse. But he refused. He was angry. And then they told him to come to the party, the elder brother. The friends told him to come in, but he would not. He was angry. He refused. But then the father came out and entreated him to come in. Then he says, the elder son says, many years I have served you. See, he acted himself as a servant. Now, I never disobeyed you. I've been always obedient, just like the Pharisees and the publicans. Yet you never gave me a party with my friends. But when this, your son, has come, he devoured your savings and with harlots and living loosely. You killed for him the fatted calf, made a party. And the father said to him, look at what the father says to him. Son, isn't that beautiful? Son. The son always saw this elder son as his son. The father always saw him as a son, not as a hired servant, not as a hired man. You are always with me. Everything I have is yours, son. So it was fitting then to make a party, be merry, and be glad for your brother who was dead has come home. He is found. Mm. But this elder son never waited for his brother. He didn't really love his brother. In other words, this elder son was living in the father's house, but his heart was not in harmony with the heart of his father. His heart, the elder son's heart, was not in unison with the father's heart. That was the problem. That's what Jesus said once. Remember he said in Matthew, he says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me." See, it is not enough just to obey because God says so. Even the Ten Commandments that God said we should obey, that's not enough. The scribes and Pharisees were doing it. What's necessary is that we are in tune with the Father, that our hearts are in tune with his heart. And when our hearts are in tune with his heart, then we are interested in others, in our brothers and our sisters, in those who are sinners. We are interested in them because the Father's interested in them. We'll do all we can because the Father's heart and his love is in us. We want to do all we can so they can come to know Jesus too. So as you come to a meetings that are coming in soon, may the love of God fill your heart, each member of the San Jose English Church. And because the love of God is there, your heart is in unison and united with the Father's heart, you will find ways of doing things to bring people to Jesus and to come to hear his word. It's awful, that attitude that the young man, this elder son, had. And the story ends there. We don't know what happened. Did he go in? We don't know. That depends on the decision that the elder son, I hope that elder son did decide finally came in. God wanted that. Jesus was telling the scribes and the Pharisees, the invitation is for you too. Just like we invite the sinners and the publicans, God invites you. Will you come in? Or are you going to stay out angry? Please come in. God loves you. Come in to the Father's house. Many people are in the church and they're lost. They're represented by the elder son, but God wants to reach them. Maybe you know a brother or sister who was in the church but has gone away. Talk to that person, pray with that person, invite them to the meetings that they can hear God's word. And may they also come back to the Lord. I remember one day when I was visiting some member in my church, when not another, from the district where we were, that was in Texas. We came to this church, I was visiting the members, and I knew that one, there were more, but one of them had left the church. And somebody told me, he never comes to church anymore. He got angry, whatever, he left church. So I went to visit him, and I prayed with him, and I could tell that he had been hurt by things that had happened in the church. So I tried to say, well, I know we're not perfect. I'm sorry what they did to you, the thing they said to you. I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry. I take responsibility for that. We prayed, and I continued to study with him about Jesus, his love, God's Father, the concept of God, that God is a true God. He loves us all, and he never wants to see us lost. So I spoke to him about God's love in a very profound way. And one day, I saw him come to church. When he came to church later on, he started coming to church, and I talked to him a little bit more, and he says, Pastor, you know what? I want to be rebaptized again. So it was my privilege to baptize this member who had been a member before, coming back to Jesus, coming back to the church. I rebaptized him, and there was joy in my heart. There was joy in his heart. There was joy in the hearts of the church, because this elder son had come back to the church and to Jesus, first of all. When I spoke to him, that's what he told me. He says, you know, Pastor, the reason I came back, because when you came back, you was talking to me about the love of God and love of Jesus. And I fell back in love with God and Jesus. That's why I was baptized. Isn't that beautiful? People are waiting for that love of God through you. May you talk to them about God's love, and may you reach other people for Jesus. May then this parable in three parts about the shepherd and the lost sheep, may the woman and the lost coin speak to us. May the father and the prodigal son speak to us. He didn't reprimand the prodigal son when he came. He received him with all his heart. And the father and the elder son, I hope he comes back. Let's pray for them to come back. If you're one of them right now hearing me, may you come back to Jesus. Come back to him and just be filled with his love, and you will rejoice. We will all rejoice. Heaven will rejoice. God the Father will rejoice. So the last thing I want to say at this moment is the following. Will you, as a church member, right now, accept the true concept of God, that God is who he is, a God of love, yes, of justice, but of justice and love, and that he will not return any sinner that comes to him. Will you now, as a member of the church, accept in your heart God's love anew, or maybe the first time, fully? Will you become a missionary for Jesus?
Amen.
Will you? God bless you, is my prayer. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.